Dreaming Out Loud, where might we be in 20 years, and why you might care? This is Greg LaFollette, reading my regular column, Final Thoughts, from the CPA Technology Advisor. I'm going to step out of my usual Joe Friday constraint of having to stick to just the facts, and dream out loud while you listen. I figure I'm pretty safe in setting the time horizon at 20 years, since you'll all be forgotten my predictions by then, and I'll be long since retired and statistically dead anyway. 20 years is a long time, especially if those 20 years are technology years, and thus governed by Moore's Law. That is, the number of transistors on an integrated circuit for a minimum component cost doubles every 2 years. That means processing power will increase by 3 orders of magnitude over my arbitrary 20-year horizon. And with it, if history's any indicator, so will storage capacity and bandwidth. And as we see those fantastic increases, we'll also be governed, I predict, by a lesser-known law, LaFollette's First Law of Computing, which states that user expectation will soon exceed all available capacity. While that may sound unbelievable, a quick backward glance at 1987 will add perspective. In 1987, we were awaiting the 8286 chip, and the thought of an 8 megahertz processor had us early speed freaks all a-twitter. The 8-inch floppy had only recently given way to the 5 1/4, and although its double-density format provided 360K of storage, we were already quickly adopting its successor, the hard-cased 3.5-inch floppy with 1.4 megabyte. Oh, by the way, we were arguing the merits of moving from 2400 baud to 9600 baud modems. After all, was there really a need for all that speed? Fast forward to 2007, and we're all considering Vista, and most of it run on machines with at least 2 gigabytes of memory. And while we're all wired all the time, my EVDO signal transfers data literally thousands of times faster than 20 years ago, and I mumble because it's too slow and occasionally find some backwoods location where I can't get a strong enhanced cell signal. My tablet weighs 3 pounds and has a 100 gigabyte hard drive and 2 gigabytes of RAM. Wi-Fi, EVDO, Bluetooth, but that's yesterday and today. That's the easy part. Where will we be in 2027. Applications will be delivered as needed, not installed, and they will appear almost instantaneously as machines will get smarter and smarter about what you might do next. You'll not buy software in the future. Actually, you don't buy it today, you simply license it, but most of us consider that going through a checkout and paying at Best Buy equates to buying, so I'm going to play fast and loose with that verb while I can. Tomorrow's software will be rented, perhaps for a single project. You want to make a nice brochure? Microsoft Publisher 2027 is yours for one project for only X dollars. Want to do several projects? How about a use it all you want for a week plan for only Y dollars? To illustrate how quickly this might happen, just consider some of Microsoft's recent acquisitions. Groove, FolderShare, Aptimum, Softricity, all are super enhancers to storing and synchronizing data and delivering applications over the network. The last one is named the clever combination of software and electricity, Softricity, highlighting its claim to fame. It delivers applications, software, over the network, think internet, just like electricity. You flip a switch and it turns on, period. no installation, no drivers, no configuration, no administrator rights, just your application, when you want it. Citrix has responded with its Project Tarpon, and now the race is on. Future is still a ways off, but I believe wise practitioners can see it from here and can begin to strategize based upon what happens to appear. We've almost solved the bandwidth problem. High-speed internet is ubiquitous. In the future, we'll begin to really harness that ubiquity, and delivered applications will be one of the first payoffs. We'll need a step up in speed, however, and the technorati is out there working hard to provide it. Projects such as Internet 2, Abilene, and National Lambda Rail are working to provide a high-speed network that runs exclusively over fiber optic lines. It will be the first transcontinental ultra-high-speed Ethernet network. It's designed primarily as a network test system for experimentation with next-generation large-scale networks. These networks use dense wavelength division multiplexing, DWDM, via OC192 lines and will provide a 10 gigabyte Ethernet signal. That kind of speed is simply amazing. And yes, I do realize that it will seem eventually slow and pitifully inadequate at the fringes of my 20-year timeline. Today, however, it means you could download the entire soon-to-be-released Harry Potter movie, Order of the Phoenix, in high definition in about 10 seconds. But following that pesky rule I quoted above, user expectation will soon exceed all available capacity, we'll continue to grow our voracious appetites for data, helped along by 24/7 video of everything everywhere, RFID, and machine-to-machine queries, and we'll be having this same discussion in 2027 with much bigger numbers. For today's practitioner, I think the message is simple. Business processes must follow available technology. Good business practices must also be amenable to change so that they take advantage of today's technology while preparing for tomorrow's. What do your business practices say about your dreams?